Hello, everyone. I'm John Melke, and this is Parkside Today. Should be an interesting show, as we'll explore a new publication on the UW-Parkside campus, Parkside Journal of Science. And later, we'll talk with Gia Gutierrez about Descubre Parkside, an open house event coming up on November 16. Starting off, it's a pleasure to be joined by the editor-in-chiefs from the new Parkside Journal of Science, Thomas Sterat and Venu Rajayaguru. The Parkside Journal of Science is a digital publication modeled after Cal Berkeley's Journal of Science with the focus on student research. And Thomas and Venu, welcome to UW-Parkside. And tell us how the Parkside Journal of Science got started. Where did it all begin?
Right. So over the summer, I talked with a high school friend who actually goes to Berkeley. Oh. And mm-hmm. he introduced me to the idea of, well, this organization that he's a part of at Berkeley. And so we kind of talked about that for a while, and I got really inspired. I thought it would be a great place at Parkside to mm-hmm. include this. So that's kind of where it started. And then I talked to a friend of mine, and then over the summer we did a lot of communicating with professors and teachers, and everyone really seemed on board with it. Sure. So we pushed forward into this semester.
And Venu, how did you become involved with the publication?
So I remember Tom coming to me with the idea around summer when he was talking about starting the journal. And at that time, it was just an idea that we were trying to formulate into something more solid. And as he said, over the summer, he conducted several meetings with the dean and stuff like that to get more of a structure.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been friends since before, so that kind of helped us start it up. And we had other friends that helped us out too. So it's always been because of communication that all of this came about.
So how, for someone that you just meet on the street and you say, we're the editor-in-chiefs of the Parkside Journal of Science, how do you explain the Parkside Journal of Science to those folks? Someone who doesn't maybe know what it is.
Okay, right. I would explain it simply as it's sort of like a magazine that interviews faculty on the campus. Mm-hmm. And we kind of break down their research into more understandable language for the common layperson.
Sure.
So that's our goal. And then we also include student highlights. So we interview students actually doing research and talk about their journey, as well as we include feature articles. So research just going, like top-tier research going around in the world. So mm-hmm. we want to include that as well. And so we're trying to put together a very nice like magazine journal that kind of highlights Parkside as a whole and the research going on.
And what do you think, Venu, what do you think the Parkside Journal of Science means to the campus community?
So we're following the quote, making a connection. So we are trying to make a connection between the scientific department that is conducting research and the common mm-hmm. student on campus. We're hoping that any major, any age group, any profile of student will be willing to pick up that publication, read it, and actually be able to connect with the research that's going on around Parkside, as well as incoming freshmen. Maybe we can attract them with our research program, because believe it or not, a lot of Parkside faculty in the biology department, chemistry, math, physics, everybody has been conducting research for a while mm-hmm. now.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know about it until and unless you are actually a biology major who requires to do independent study.
Sure.
So I just feel like we are doing very good research and that everybody should know about it. So that's a good way to convince people to join so they can actually see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Now for each of you, where are you from originally, and what is your what are your majors?
Right. So I'm from Grays Lake, Illinois, mm-hmm. and my major is biochemistry.
Okay. And Venu?
And I'm from Grays Lake, Illinois, too. Okay. And I am a biological sciences major.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it does, is the Parkside Journal of Science, is it going to, you kind of touched on that, but it's not focusing on one particular academic area or one particular research area, correct?
Correct. So we want to be inclusive of a lot of like research going on. So right now we're currently focused on the College of Natural Health Sciences, which includes physics, math, chemistry, biology, psychology as well. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping in the future that we can branch out and even cover more science areas such as computer science, anthropology, topics like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
how are there others besides yourselves who are involved with the writing or interviewing or finding out about the research that's going on and then including that in the journal?
Yeah, so right now we have a fairly large team, around like 15 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so yeah. We're working on starting a research and development team, as well as we have copy editors, reporters who go actually meet with the professor and interview them and then get the information, which mm-hmm. kicks to the copy editors who review it. And then the research and development team gives the reporters the questions to ask. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it comes back to Venu and I in our e-board, and we review it, make sure citations are correct, make sure everything looks nice. Mm-hmm. And then our creative director puts together the artwork and frames it nicely in our journal.
Okay. Are we talking print, digital, both?
For now, we are just branching out to a digital platform. So basically, okay. It'll be like an online PDF as well as a kind of structure. We're still trying to understand how the actual structure will be, but we know there's going to be a PDF.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully in the future, we would like for it to be on paper. I don't see that happening anytime this year.
Mm-hmm.
But in the future, hopefully when this becomes to be something that, you know, everybody is getting in touch with and everybody wants to be involved with, we could get funding to do print.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then digital is there's a lot of good things about digital. If you publish it and all of a sudden someone goes, oh, no, that's not exactly correct. We need to make a slight adjustment here. Mm-hmm. Not so much of a problem versus how are we going to do that? How are we going to pull those issues back to make that happen? What can you give us an example of some of the topics that you're working on right now, or some of the research areas that you're working on stories about?
Right now, we are preparing for a soft debut publication on November 18th. We're hoping to publish it.
Okay.
We want to talk about who we are, how we came about, the process, introduce our team,
mm-hmm.
and include an interview with Professor Higgs, who is mm-hmm. a part of the biology department, and he is conducting research, so we do want to bring that to the spotlight. Other than that, we do hope to include a main W publication that's going to be released beginning of next semester, which is going to cover a lot of interviews that we have conducted and will be conducting with several faculty, such as Daryl Sauer.
Sure.
I know he's working on the Mars mission. We also have a lot of Hom Candle from the physics department. He's mm-hmm. also our faculty advisor.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of ideas. We just need enough time to get it in order to publish everything.
Sure. What is it about, I mean, certainly from anyone who's involved in the sciences and the research, what is it about research for each of you that's fun? That you know, if you didn't enjoy it, you wouldn't be thinking about having a publication about it and telling those stories. So what is it that makes it interesting or fun for each of you?
I think it's like the possibilities and the breakthroughs that can come about through the research. And it's, to quote Marie Curie, she said every time that she's in the lab, it's like she's reading like a tale, and it has magic in it, and she's uncovering like new mysteries. So mm-hmm. I think it's the mystery and that makes it fun for me. Yeah,
sure. And Venu, how about you?
I feel like there is no science without research, and research is just such an important aspect of any part of science, because if you don't have a theory, if you don't test it, how are you going to prove something, and how is it going to be, you know, implemented, for example, when you're making medicine and stuff like that? All of mm-hmm. that has such an important connection with like the common people
mm-hmm.
that I feel like research should and could affect every single person on any level. So just bringing that about to everybody and just showing them that research is something that's extremely important. For some people, it may sound very tedious, but at the same time, there's so much that can come about from it that it just helps everybody understand.
The discovery, I mean, not being a researcher, but the discovery part of it has to be, that's got to be fun, right? When you actually come across something that maybe either you didn't expect to see or something that you were looking for is actually, yes, I can prove that. That's got to be interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
When did you start? You're here at Parkside and you're doing this, but for each of you, when did kind of the interest in the sciences, in research, when did you first kind of get that feeling of, oh, this is something I enjoy doing or I want to do or I want to pursue?
For me, my dad, he's a chemical engineer. So
in the genes.
Yeah, so it's in the genes. So in middle school, he used to take me out to Home Depot and buy materials, and we would build rockets. And learning about, like, the mechanisms of, like, propulsion and how rockets work, that was kind of the first thing that drew me towards science and wanting to learn more about how everything, like, operates.
Yeah.
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 It's just, I think ever since I was a kid, I just knew that science is fun. It's interesting. And I remember in fifth grade, they came into the class with a cow liver. And we were very young to see that. And it just, at that moment, for some people, it was a traumatizing moment. But for me, I knew that this was something that I would like to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And my family is full of doctors and engineers. And my mom's a PhD in psychology. So everybody's always been around the sciences, which kind of inspired me to do the same.
Right. And, you know, and they talk about the initiatives, the desire to get more females involved in the sciences and the technology fields. Is there anything as a female that you see that possibly prohibits or makes it more challenging for females to get involved? Or, you know, what are some of the things that you feel like you had to overcome as a female or just get past where maybe it's not the same for a male?
No, of course, no. Even though it is the 21st century, there are some obstacles that a female does have to cross to be recognized for something that is not the typical female career. I mean, even though for years and years we've had very famous women scientists do breakthrough research, Madame Curie, for example, was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I feel like women are underestimated to multitask. And, you know, if you have a home, you have a family, you're going to have a hard time having a career and stuff like that. So trying to break the stereotype, especially from the culture where I come from, was one of my biggest problems, as my parents being immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And for my family has been fairly educated, but at the same time, our distant relatives didn't understand the fact that, you know, a woman should be educated to this level or keep on going on because, believe it or not, it is just that a woman is supposed to have a family and just take care of it.
Yeah.
So it's hard to break those stereotypes, but it's inspiring to see that people like Tom support, you know, something to come about and hold women as equivalent.
Right.
I just hope people understand that we have our entire e-board. We have three women who are in it, and we have a lot of other females involved in it. So I just feel like it'll inspire more people to join the research community.
Yeah, and if they have the opportunity to, that's the other side, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you need to have that opportunity to be involved. Yeah, so we've been talking with Thomas Sturat and Vinu Rajaguru, and they are the editors and chiefs. Hard for me to do the editor and chiefs there. I want to put the S after the editors, but we'll get past that. For the upcoming Parkside Journal of Science, and you talked about the fact that you're having a soft launch later this month, November 18th, kind of introducing the team and a story with Professor David Higgs here at UW Parkside, and then starting in the spring academic semester, the first full launch of the publication. Any idea right now what topics you think you'd be covering, or is that still in development?
Yeah, so we're going to be covering a lot of biology, some physics as well, and chemistry for this launch.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how? Any idea what how often you see another issue? Is it more of an issue, or is it more like we're going to be adding to it on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, so each semester, we're aiming to release one publication, reviewing the last semester's interviews.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So next fall, we'll release the interviews from this upcoming spring semester. So okay. Alternate like that.
Okay. So will there be stories in the spring, in this upcoming spring semester, or are you looking at starting it in the fall semester?
We have interviews that were conducted this semester fall, so we intend to publish them in the spring, upcoming spring 2020, in the beginning, because I feel like people will have more time to read versus towards the end of a semester when they're wrapping up finals and everything. And then whatever happens through spring and summer, we want to publish in fall 2020. So our publication is technically going to be of the semester before, but publishing the semester after.
Great. And how will people... How will they know once you've done the publication, how will they know where to see it?
Right. We're hoping we can get an email sent out to all of the Parkside community. Uh-huh. We're also going to have our website, which we're going to advertise through our marketing department and have flyers hung about campus.
Right.
And we have Dean of Students, Steve Wallner, who is very excited about this project. And we have Dean Emmanuel Otu of the College of Natural Health Sciences, and Chancellor Ford we're going to be meeting with. So we're going to be connecting with all of them, and we have connected with some of them to talk about how they can publicize the journal, and they have access to a lot of emails, you know, the student body emails. Sure. So if they can send out an email saying when we publish it, I feel like a lot of people will get the chance to. They'll, since it's digital, they can just click the link and open it up, and hopefully it's attractive enough for them to engage in it.
And I'll speak for Tim and say we'll use UW Parkside social media accounts, our Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram accounts to help you get that out there.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
We've been talking with Thomas Durrat and Venu Rajaguru, editor in chiefs of the upcoming Parkside Journal of Science. Thomas and Venu, thanks for being with us on Parkside today, and good luck with the journal.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to visit with Gia Gutierrez and talk about an upcoming event, Descubre Parkside. Gia, welcome back, because you've been on Parkside Today before, so welcome back to Parkside Today.
Thank you, John. A pleasure for me to be here with you.
Good. The first Descubre Parkside took place, if I'm reading the website correctly, in 2016, when the UW Parkside College of Social Sciences and Professional Studies partnered with the Racine Unified School District to bring middle school students and their families to campus. The next year, the university and the college partnered with the Kenosha Unified School. The goal is to show students and their families, especially students from dual language schools, that college is an achievable option. How do you achieve that goal?
That's right, John. I think as we are going into our communities and having these conversations about going to college, the university saw the value, and specifically within our college, we saw the value in engaging our students within this conversation at the middle school level, because for many of our students, they may be hearing about it the first time when they're in high school, maybe their junior year or senior year. But beyond just engaging them in a conversation about coming to college or coming to Parkside, we want to engage them in the idea, you know, that they too can, you know, also aspire to obtain their degree and continue into higher education. So we've been able to continue some of that work that has been established over the years.
Sure.
And year after year, it's grown in its capacity, and we continue to implement new programs and new components to these visits that create robust, you know, comprehensive experiences for our students that not just expose them to our beautiful campus and its spaces, but also introduces them to key people within our campus that can continue to see them, you know, grow, whether they're continuing into their high school experience here in KUSD or RUSD, and then eventually, you know, becoming part of our students here on campus, or if they choose to, you know, continue on into another post-secondary institution elsewhere, at least they would have had some type of experience by engaging with us through these events.
They get a chance to see that, or get a chance to start believing that I can do this.
That's right.
I can see myself in this role, whether it's a Parkside or another institution. How does your now being the executive assistant for Dean Peggy James in the College of Social Sciences and Professional Studies, how does your past experience in the admissions office, how does that play into Descubre Parkside? I would think it's an advantage.
It is, because it not only gives me the opportunity to continue some of the work that I've been able to to really launch within our admissions department. But it really helps because I've been able to reach out to some of the people that I know, some of the connections that I know within the high schools, and say, hey, you know, I am helping coordinate this event and we're trying to spread the word. Can you put me in touch, you know, with other teachers or with other student groups that could potentially, you know, be part of this visit? And so bringing some of that prior knowledge and knowing some of those people has certainly been something that I've been able to utilize for coordinating this current upcoming visit. And certainly being able to work with students, right? Work with students and sharing my story. I think this is, I've been you know, very fortunate to have a platform where I can talk and share my story as a first-generation Latina. And being bilingual, you know, being able to continue providing that service to my community, to my campus. And for students who maybe met me at a high school capacity, now knowing that their siblings maybe have a chance to meet me at their school, I think it kind of continues that conversation and it allows for me to be able to build some of these relationships at a different school setting.
Right. What? So we talked about 2016, UW-Parkside and the college partners with RUSD, Racine Unified School District. 2017, Kenosha Unified School District. Was there a Descubre Parkside in 2018?
We skipped over one of the semesters, and we were able to push forward a lot more on some of the other initiatives. Like, for example, Yo Soy Parkside significantly grew within last year, and that's definitely, that was, you know, no sole effort from my part. It was a whole department, a whole university, and so we were able to skip that year, and now we've been able to come back and really kick it off again, and we've had a really, you know, very positive amount of students that have been able to enroll now for this visit coming up, and KUSD is currently at the lead of students that they've registered, and we've been able to, again, kind of build on those relationships that we had prior to, and letting them know that this is still a place that they can come visit. And that we are still, you know, with the mission of removing as many barriers as possible. So, you know, we're still providing, you know, transportation. We're still, you know, reaching out to them at their schools, at their parent-teacher conferences. We are, you know, providing an opportunity for them to come meet our students here and providing, you know, lunch for them and an opportunity to tour campus. So we're still continuing a lot of those elements that are part of our traditional visits, but also at the the benefit that it's in Spanish as well. So it's, you know, and if it's, since it's for our bilingual students and for their families, we want for them to know that coming to our campus, they'll have somebody here that's able to answer their questions in their own language.
Sure. Now, so are we working this year in 2019 with both KUSD and RUSD?
That's right. Yeah, we've been able to touch base with really key teachers from dual language programs within KUSD and RUSD. And it's these teachers that have really helped propel some of the students that enrollments to this specific visit. So getting students to register and providing me spaces also to talk to students and share about what this visit is all about. So I've seen, I would say, an equal amount of support. But definitely, I think there's been, you know, lots of support also from superintendent and KUSD that has been able to reach out to all families and students, letting them know about this upcoming trip. And we've had students, you know, register.
Good, good. And once they're here, take us through what Descubre Parkside looks like for a student or their family members that are coming here for the event.
Certainly. Well, since it's a family event, we want for both students and families to get a rich experience. So for students, you know, as they arrive, they're going to have a chance to meet the volunteers, which are students from our own campus. And these students are going to be taking them through different mini sessions, you know, and these mini sessions are provided from faculty within our college. So we have Professor Gregory Kramer, who is going to be presenting on one of the sessions. We have Professor Simona Quinde, who's going to be presenting a separate one, and then Professor Kenny French, who will be presenting a third session.
Okay.
So students will have a chance to dive deep within some of these lectures, sort of like mini courses that they'll take from these professors, and they're going to have a chance to tour some of our spaces on campus, and we'll have a chance to also see some panels, so of students who will be able to answer questions and hear more about their experiences as Latino students, and that specific track is a little bit different compared to the parents, because the parents are going to be following their own separate sessions, and those sessions are going to focus on how to support, you know, a student who wants to go to college. So what to, how to be prepared, being proactive and not reactive. Understanding a little bit more of the affordability component of going to college. And they're going to have a chance also to meet community members who are Parkside alumni who have done some amazing things and people who are huge advocates of our Latino community within our towns of Racine and Kenosha. So they'll have a chance to kind of see also for themselves the value and some of the great skills that Parkside is helping our students and fostering.
Sure. And when you're involved with the event, what are some of the things or are there things where you kind of you find that people are surprised about, or maybe there, you mentioned some of the things about the affordability, you know, some of the, what are some of the main questions that, that families might have about their child or a friend or family member attending UW-Parkside, attending a university?
Well, I think one of the elements that's the most surprising is the, not just the different programs that are available. I think the sometimes it's the support services that are in place, right? I think as an institution, we have to strive to, you know, provide services to the students that are part of our student body. And oftentimes it's just being able to have open spaces for these students and for the community. One of my favorite places, for example, to share about is our library. The fact that we have a beautiful library space that's open to the community.
Yeah.
And, you know, many students don't realize that our library is really kind of a gateway to being able to get to campus and really see a little bit more in depth about what college life is about.
Mm-hmm.
And so for parents to understand that universities and campuses are open to the community, are open spaces. And so that's also something that I think a lot of parents are surprised by, knowing that they can, you know, just visit our campus and visit our library spaces, come enjoy a meal within our beautiful dining areas and engage in a conversation with whether it's admissions counselors or, you know, coordinating an appointment with a faculty member.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the open availability. I would say that's something that many people are surprised by. And then within the Latino community, I know that certainly being able to have access to somebody that maybe speaks Spanish, you know, and so that's certainly another element. I think that they are taken back sometimes by knowing that there's somebody there, and I've been able to have some really great conversations with a lot of our community members who reach out to us with questions, whether it's about Parkside or about our programs, and, you know, they reach out to me, or sometimes they'll see me in the supermarket, sometimes they see me out in the community, like, hey, you answered our questions, we were at that event, and so... I think it's that consistency also that sometimes, gets them coming back.
And there's a level of trust there as well.
I would say.
They've met someone and they can trust the fact that, okay, here I've met this person. I know who this person is. I believe that if I ask a question, I'm going to get an answer that I can trust.
Certainly.
So takes place. We're talking with Gia Gutierrez, who... formerly was in the UW-Parkside Admissions Department. She is now Executive Assistant for Dr. Peggy James, Dean of the College of Social Sciences and Professional Studies. And we're talking about Descubre Parkside, an open house event taking place on Saturday, November 16th, here at UW-Parkside from 9 a.m. to 12:30. Gia, this program will be aired a day after. It will be aired before Descubre Parkside, on the Tuesday before and also the Sunday after. If someone hears this on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday before the event, can they still come and attend? And if so, how do they do that?
Certainly. We have a registration process, and they're certainly welcome to reach out to me with any questions. We have a very simple link that they can visit to be able to get more information. It's www.uwp.edu/descubre. So that's an easy link that they can reach out to, or they're more than welcome to touch base with any of our visit programs here on campus through our admissions office or through myself, and we'd be happy to engage in the conversation with them. And if they're not able to attend the event, certainly we have a variety of different events that are going to be coming up, and hopefully they're able to participate at another one at another time.
Right, yeah. No, that's interesting work for sure. And how does... You touched a little bit on Yo Soy Parkside, another event along with Descubre. How do those fit in with the university being designated as an emerging Hispanic serving institution. Is that something that you talk about with family members and students, or how does that play into the conversation?
Well, with our vested interest in becoming a Hispanic serving institution, I think the more programs that we have available for our students, the better opportunities that our community can see, you know, mm-hmm. and be exposed to our campus. And I think it definitely builds into that. It builds into the work that we're doing within that program and that strategic committee, really, that's pushing some of these efforts. And so, of course, you know, to become a Hispanic serving institution, we must be able to have 25% enrollment of Latino mm-hmm. students here on campus. And we're currently, like you said, an emerging Hispanic serving institution, which puts us right about 17.4% right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are aware of the different things that need to be in place as far as, you know, serving our students and, mm-hmm. and these visit programs. So this is one of the elements in place to help students get to campus, mm-hmm. understanding about the different services available, career options, and navigating this conversation. But nonetheless, there's more that needs to be done, right? And so this is one of the ways in which our community gets to see up close for themselves, really, mm-hmm. who we are, what we stand for, the services that we provide our students, and the opportunities that are available for our students who choose Parkside as their home campus.
Yeah.
But it's certainly, it takes a community, right? It takes mm-hmm. a village to be able to get to this designation.
Yeah.
So I foresee, you know, that we're going to have more opportunities like this to reach out. And certainly, you know, we should be able to provide more opportunities, whether it's in evening events, or whether mm-hmm. it's weekend events, whether it's throughout the week. So definitely providing these spaces is going to be the best way that more of our community members will know that our Parkside will become one day, you know, a Hispanic serving institution.
Yeah. Well, good work as you said, it's a number of people here on campus who are contributing to the effort. And that certainly is great work on your behalf. We've been talking with Gia Gutierrez, Executive Assistant for Dr. Peggy James, who is Dean of the UW-Parkside College of Social Sciences and Professional Studies. Upcoming Descubre Parkside open house event on Saturday, November 16. But if you are listening to this after the 16th, certainly get in touch with Gia here at UW-Parkside or anyone in the admissions office, and they can help you learn more about the opportunities that exist here at UW-Parkside. You can also go to uwp.edu/descubre to find out more about the event. And Gia, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, John. My pleasure.
To hear past editions of Parkside Today, please visit uwp.edu/parkside today. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Go Rangers.
Go Rangers.